Let's give God a big hand. Tell your neighbor, you sang better than you have ever sung before. Amen. All to the glory of
God.
Why don't we give him another big hand? Amen. Amen. Please be seated briefly before we read the scripture today. Just wanting to acknowledge one or two people. But the other person I want to acknowledge is Pastor Edith. There's something we used to drink kitambo. It was called Uji Plus. But we really appreciate her leadership. Amen. And just her being herself. Tell your neighbor, just be yourself. Amen. Wonderful. We have some of our members with a couple of visitors with us. Tito and Debbie have our friends from the U.S., Atlanta, Georgia, Ruth and Peter. I don't know where you're seated. We just want to appreciate you. God bless you so much. Karibu sana. Amen. Come again. We also have a bishop from Ghana. We thank God that last week we had the High Commissioner with us. Today we have a bishop from Ghana, Bishop Frank Abedi Boateng. Boateng, I hope I've said it right. Is he here? Okay. God bless you. Great to have you. Amen. He is with the International Charismatic Church, and we thank God that you could visit with us. Please come again and again. Amen. I also want to bring to your attention, there's a book that I wrote that was published by Evangel Publishing House. It's called Taking the City. And especially this year when we're talking about empowered world changers, I thought this is a book that it, if came into your hands, will be a great blessing. Some of the stories I share here are in this book. How I got saved from East Lands, Jamhuri High School, the journey, call to ministry, got married. So this is a great book to have, because this month we are talking about empowered thought. And this is a great book to be able to just inspire you and encourage you during this season and time. Amen. Now, we want to read the scripture, which is from the book of Genesis 32. And so I will ask us to stand at this time. We are talking about Jacob. For those who have been coming here, January we talked about empowered vision. February, empowered seed. This month, empowered thought. January we talked about Abraham. February, about Isaac. This month, we are using the backdrop of Jacob to be able to communicate and share the word of God. So, this is a part when Jacob was wrestling with an angel. So I read from verse 22. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." May this be your prayer, that God will not let you go until he blesses you. You're not going to let God off until he blesses you. The Bible says, the man asked him, "What is your name?" And Jacob He said, Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask my name? Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel. The word Peniel is made of two words, Peni and El. Peni actually is face, El is God, so the face of God. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God's face. I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. This is God's word, and God's people say,
amen.
Amen. We may be seated in God's house. Those online, we celebrate you. Thank you for always connecting. We give God the glory. Many of you across the globe, across the continent, in Nairobi, outside Nairobi, bless you so much. And those in the pavilion, overflow, we thank you for being faithful at the pavilion. Those in the sanctuary, God bless you big time. Let us pray. Father, we thank you because your word is always alive. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Lord, as your servant speaks, may the anointing, fresh anointing, rest upon him. As he delivers your word, break it to us. Feed our spirits, our minds, and everything that we have, so that, Lord, as we walk into this week, we are marching into our miracles. So we bless you and we say thank you. All glory goes back to you. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Today I want to talk about activating the mind of miracles, or we can say activating the miracle mindset. So tell your neighbor, I have a miracle mindset. Hallelujah. You have a great mind. That's why you're here. We keep saying that when you get saved and come into the kingdom, come also with your mind. Hallelujah. Because sometimes people get saved and they stop thinking. Hallelujah. So you get saved, now you think even better and think clearer. Because it's about thought. Thoughts are very important. And God has given us a thinking mind. That is why the Bible says we have the mind of Christ. Amen? We have his heart. We have his mind. His Holy Spirit lives in us. And so we are thinking beings. We are created to think. We are created in his image. That's why the Bible says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. God is a thinker. He thinks. And he also wants you to do what? To think. But he wants you not to think thoughts that disempower you, but thoughts that empower you. You are special in the sight of God. I'm saying you're special.
Amen.
I'm saying you're special.
Amen.
Because you think. Amen? Now, some of us, our thoughts are dormant, but we must activate them. Think. And we are talking about empowered thought. Talking about Jacob. Jacob was blessed by his father Isaac. But in the process of blessing him, he created an enemy with his twin brother. And the twin brother vowed that he would kill Jacob. And so Jacob ran away to his uncle's place, Laban. Stayed there for 20 years. But the time came when God told him, I want you to go back home. And for Jacob, that was a daunting task. Because in his mind, he knew that Esau was waiting for him. And he didn't know what to do. But God was preparing him for that encounter. And that is why during that night, there was a wrestling match. Because God wanted to prepare Jacob and tell him, no matter what you face, I'm with you. Amen? I am with you. I am your great defense. I am the one who will protect you. And in this month, when we are talking about the mindset of miracles, we need to begin to believe that miracles still happen today. I'm saying miracles still happen today. And in this month of March, may you march into your miracles. Hallelujah. May God surprise you big time. So Jacob is wrestling. And the Bible says this. Let me read those verses again. Genesis 32, verse 22. The Bible says that night, and it was at night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford, the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone. That's the part I wanted to get. Jacob was left alone. And there are times that God will cause things to happen in your life until you seem to be alone. But you must remember this, you never walk alone. Amen. Never walk alone. Miracles happen. 7-0 miracles happen for people who don't walk alone. Thank you, Jesus. But I also want to say, you may be down there, but God will lift you up. The Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times. But he rises. He rises up again. So, Manu, it is not over until God says it's over. Praise the Lord. This is to encourage. The Bible says when you meet, encourage one another with these words. Bwana asifiwe. Some of you will catch that later. But he was alone. And the Bible says, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. And God was preparing him for a battle. And he was telling him, hey, I'm with you. I am with you. You're afraid. You can still have the picture of Esau upset, so mad, fuming. But guess what? You may not know it now, but I've sorted your future. I've sorted your tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow looks very difficult, but when God is with you, he has already sorted your tomorrow. And you can go into your tomorrow knowing that miracles still happen, even today. And Jacob, like you'll find out later, when he reached the next day, for sure, God had already gone ahead of him. If you read Genesis chapter 33, verse 4, this is how they met with Esau. Because God enabled this man to face his fears and to overcome. The Bible says, but Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Then Esau looked up and saw the women and children. Who are these with you? He asked. Jacob answered, they are the children God has graciously given your servant. The meeting was a blessing because God prepared for that meeting. And I want to tell you this, for Jacob, that was seriously a miracle. A miracle of a man who was so angry and upset, but in that 20 years, God was able to shift and change him. Believe that your tomorrow is better than your yesterday. Believe that your future is better than your past. You may have fallen many times, but let me tell you this. This God has not forsaken you. This God has not left you. But you need a mind. There's a certain mind you need. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, talking about what God has given to us. He says, who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? He says, but we have the mind of who? The mind of Christ. Not we will have it, not one day we will develop it, but we have the mind of Christ. And so there are three ways that this mind functions, and this is the mind we want to activate. Number one, the mind of dominion. Number two, the mind of abundance. And number three, the mind of possibilities. Talking about the mind of dominion, The Bible says this in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 26 to 28. God is creating the man. This is what he says about that man. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Let me read this in the New King James Version. Again, reading verse 26. The Bible says this. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and then let them have what? Dominion." It's a mindset. The Bible says later in the book of Psalms, chapter 8, verse 4 and 5, again talking about this man, you and I. It says this in Psalms 8, verse 4. "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have what? Dominion over the works of your hands. And you have put a few things." You have put all things where? Under his feet. God has given us dominion. Hallelujah. It's a mindset. It is who you are. It is your identity. It is what God input inside you when he created you. It is the software inside you. It's the mind of Christ. And that is why when Jesus was on earth, he walked with that mind. Nothing fazed him. Nothing challenged him. Because he had a different mind. The Bible says this in John chapter 1 concerning Jesus. Introducing Jesus into this earth. John 1 verse 1. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind." This is the kind of mind Jesus had. He knew who he was. He had the mind called I am. Tell your neighbor, I am. It's a mind of dominion. So that whatever challenge comes your way, you meet it with that mindset. And that is why when Jesus experienced darkness, he said, "I am the light of the world." He didn't have to argue with darkness. He said, "I am the light. I am." That word "I am" is the identity of Elohim, of God himself. I am the light. And guess what? Jesus now turns to us and says, "You are the light of the world." You have that mindset. Excuse me. You have that mindset. When Jesus faced scarcity and the disciples wondering, how are we going to feed these people? Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 35. You know, "I am the light," dealing with darkness. Then, dealing with scarcity, he says, then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. I have what it takes. This scarcity cannot deal with me. I can handle it because I know who I am. I am the bread of life." When the disciples asked him, "Where are you going?" Jesus said, "I am the way." Hallelujah. I am the way. He said, "I am the truth." You want to know about God? I am that truth. He was the I am. And that is why for us as believers, as we walk through this life, we need to know who we are. Hallelujah. We need to know who we are. Because we have the mind of Christ. Talking about a man by the name of Daniel. Daniel had this mind. So let me read this in Daniel chapter 6. In the New King James Version, please. Let me read about Daniel, that he had an excellent spirit. What he did knowing who he was. The Bible says it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. Let me read that again. And over these, it pleased Darius to set over the king. Okay, go back to verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. Verse 2. And over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. Verse 3, this is the verse I want you to take note. This man knew who he was. He knew what he had. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and the satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. Tell your neighbor, there's a promotion coming. Hallelujah. Daniel, there were 120 satraps, whoever they are. Then above them were the governors, three of them. And one of those governors was who? Was Daniel. And let me tell you this. When you know who you are, it doesn't matter what happens in your office. Office politics happen. Country politics happen. County, cities, towns, then family politics happen. Hallelujah. But when you know who you are, it will not faze you. Bwana asifiwe. Because Daniel knew where he was coming from. He knew where he was going. He knew that God had given him a spirit of excellence. And office politics happened, just like it happened in this realm in the time of Daniel. But let me tell you this, God was with him. But let me read the next one, because it creates a drama of office politics. It says this, then these men say, we shall not find any charge against this man. Go back to verse 4. Let me read verse 4 and pick it from there. In verse 4. All right. This Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge. Thank you for giving me that verse. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful. May you be faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. So these guys did not know how to handle this guy. So the Bible said, then these men said, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of who? Of his God. If people find fault in your faith, that is a good place. Amen? The Bible goes on to say, so the governors and satraps created, they wanted to create a scenario for him so that they could put him down. So these governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault. But because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Verse 5. Then these men said, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So they created a situation where they were able to tell the king, King, why don't you create 30 days so that nobody will worship anybody but you. And Darius, without thinking, said, fine. Then they said, put it down on paper, sign it. And Darius signed it. And guess what? When Daniel came to find out what had happened, the Bible says he went into his room. Amen. He knelt down, verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since when? Early days. What he told them was this: whatever trap you make, come, I'm ready for it. I know who I am. And for sure, that's exactly what they did. They threw Daniel into the den of lions, and Daniel, God was with him. Something the king said that was very special. Let me read that part. Go to verse 13. The Bible says this. So they answered and said before the king that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. They were giving testimony for Daniel. May people give testimony concerning you. Amen. In Jesus' name. May they say, this guy always reads the word of God. This guy prays. Not at work, in his house. Thank you, Jesus. Bwana asifiwe. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. He tried to just change this thing. But this guy said, no way, you gave the command and you have brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. You are going to cast him down there. And for sure, Daniel was put in that den. But the king said, may the Lord your God, whom you serve continually, may he deliver you. May he deliver you. May your enemies pray for you. Hallelujah. And for sure, Daniel was delivered. Why? He had a mindset for miracles. May you have a mindset for miracles. May you believe that it doesn't matter what difficult situation you're in, God will find a way where there seems to be no way. Our God is faithful. He will not let you die alone. And in fact, you will not die. You will live and declare the praises of God in this earth. Why don't we give God a big hand here? It's called the mind of dominion. But very quickly, there was the mind of abundance. The mind of abundance. And Daniel had that mind, not Daniel, but Jacob, because he remembered that God, through his father, had blessed him. Let me read this verse in Genesis 28, verse 3, because Isaac blessed Jacob before he left. This is what he said. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. Isaac released the blessing, and Jacob remembered it even when Laban played havoc in his life in terms of his marriage, getting married to two sisters, then shortchanging him concerning his labor. But he still stayed his course because he knew that he was connected to the God of abundance. I want to tell you this, you're connected to the God of abundance. I want you to believe that this country is connected to the God of abundance. You know, sometimes we believe that this country is in so much debt that there's no way this country can change itself. Let me tell you this, change your mind. I'm saying change your mind. I'm saying change your mind. I'm saying change your mind. Believe even for this country. Believe that this country can rise to great places. Hallelujah. Japan was devastated during the Second World War when they threw the atomic bomb on Japan. And that land was totally devastated, as if Japan would never rise again. But I'm telling you, the psyche of the people was spoken to, and they began to believe the impossible, and they began to believe that things could shift. And let me tell you this, Japan is not where it used to be, because the psyche of the nation shifted. Things changed because the people began to believe in abundance. They began to believe that they could be productive. Let me tell you this, you are productive. The God of productivity is inside you. He has already blessed you, and he has said, be fruitful and multiply, subdue and have dominion in Jesus' name. Your families can rise again. Your business can rise again because you're connected to the God of abundance. I pray that you believe what I'm saying. I pray you believe what I'm saying. I pray you believe what I'm saying. Have a different picture about Kenya. Many times people try to paint this crazy picture about Kenya, and sometimes even in the press, the pictures people have of Kenya when they are out there is like Kenya is about to go into the valley any moment. But let me tell you this, the picture that God has about Kenya is different. Hello? It's different. Kenya in Hebrew means a nest. Thank you, Jesus. Means a nest. Kenya, it's a nest. And in a nest, where the bird sits there and finds comfort and is able to put eggs there. It's a nest. God is incubating productivity from Kenya and blessing the world with it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You better believe it. You better believe it. Excuse me. God incubated a future president of the U.S. in Kenya. Why are you quiet? President Obama had his links from where? From Kenya. The U.S. never knew that one day a black man would rule that nation. But he was being incubated from Kenya, near the lakeside. Do not give up on people. Thank you, Jesus. Do not give up on people. God is doing something fresh. And you are special. Don't look down on yourself. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above what you ask or imagine. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. The first time I wanted to go to America, I had just done my Form 4 exams and I had passed very well. And as I was thinking of going to Form 5, I also applied to go to the US. And they saw my marks and I was accepted to go to the US. But when I came and showed my father that the acceptance letter, my father looked at me and he said, "Ambrose, are you the firstborn?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Do you have other siblings?" I said, "Yes." And my father says, "If you know you have other siblings, this thing of the US, forget it." You see, I had gone to somebody who was not the source. Hallelujah. He was my father, but his capacity did not have the US in him. His capacity only had a local capacity. He did not have an international capacity. Tell your neighbor, increase your capacity. Hallelujah. So I forgot this thing of going to the US and dropped that idea. When I finished my Form 6, much later, went to the college and finished. Then I went to Bible school and finished. I got a scholarship to go to the US. How did that happen? One of our deacons, who was a missionary, had gone back to America, and he was sitting on the board of a university, and he knew that there were international scholarships that could be given out. And he said to that board and told them, "My pastor is in Kenya, and I want you to give one of these scholarships to that young man." I didn't know that's what he was doing. When he said that, they gave him one of the scholarships. He told me to apply. I applied, not knowing that things had already worked out for me. Ukombele. I had an inside person. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, you better give God a big hand. I had an inside person. And I want you to know that in heaven, you have an inside person. Yes. Jesus Christ, who was on this earth, has gone into the inside place, and he's creating scholarships for you. He's creating abundance for you. He's creating opportunities for you in the name of Jesus Christ. And he's saying, "My daughter Mary, my son John, this is what they need. Dad, do this for them." And at that particular time, you have no idea. That's why I'm saying you are marching into your miracles. You are marching into your open doors in Jesus' name. You have an inside person. When I applied and then it was accepted, I was told I was given a 4-year scholarship. Then I started thinking, how will I get my air ticket? Kumbe, that same missionary had gotten his friends and they had already bought air tickets for me to go to the US. So what else did I have left to do except to go to the embassy, where I was able to get the visa in 5 minutes? When God opens the door, He opens the door. Hallelujah. He supplies, He gives. And Pastor Simon, those days, when you were to go to the US, you needed to go with traveler's checks. You just didn't go to the bank and you just take off. You had to have traveler's checks. And that time I went to the bank, I was able to get some papers. And then you had to go to get the traveler's checks at the central bank. And I went to central bank. Very excited. I was traveling the next week on Wednesday. I was ready. I was charged. I'm heading there. I reached the central bank. I'm on a queue with all my papers. So we are moving. And then I reached the counter and I gave my papers. Oh, I'm excited. I'm about to leave this Kenya and go to the US. The guy at the counter took my papers and then he put them down and then he looked past me and said, "Next." I said, "Excuse me, I need this paper stamped. I need to travel." He said, "You're going to travel, no worry, but come after 3 days." I said, "3 days? I'm traveling this coming week on Wednesday." He said, "Young man, step aside. Can the next person come? Do you know? You know how you sometimes you reach a place when you're there is just a breakthrough, is just about to break through. Alafu nagongwa na ukuta." I stepped aside, Pastor Simon. I didn't know what to do. It's at that time you're wondering, "God, why do you bring me this far to let me down?" So I'm standing at the back, I'm standing on the side, and I'm looking at that guy. Every time he looks up, I'm looking at him so that he can notice me, that I'm not leaving. And I'm praying. He served this guy left. He served the next guy left. I'm looking at him. After I looked at him, now started looking at him with sad eyes that he should pity me. Then I stopped at a certain place and I said, "God, you already know that I need to travel. So Lord, I surrender this matter to you." Do you know, after I said that, a guy I had not seen, who was a schoolmate from Jamhuri High School, suddenly walked from the corridors and came and he said, "Ah, Pastor Ambrose, what are you doing here?" I said, I need some traveler's checks. I'm traveling next week. And I've just given my papers to that guy and he has put them there. Out of nowhere, this guy goes, opens that counter. He goes on the other side. He says, "Excuse me, sir, where are the papers for that young man?" He says, "Here they are." He takes the papers and he says, "Ambrose, follow me." Follow me. So, me, I don't know what this guy is up to. So I follow him. We go to the lift. We go up to around 8th floor there. And he goes into an office and he starts talking. It is these guys who are very enthusiastic, like Edith. You know, these people who are just talking, you know, they're not quiet, they just speak. They arrive. He says, "Excuse me, sir, Bana, how are you, Bana? How is the week?" "Ah, it's good to see you, Bana. This is a friend of mine. He's going to the US and he needed these papers to be stamped." And this guy picks them, he starts stamping them. Bang, bang. And he's talking. He says, "Thank you. Now you can take these papers to the next floor." We walk out to the next floor. They are stamped. And then he gives them to me and he said, "Ambrose, have a great flight." And he goes. He's gone. You know, sometimes when I think about it, I think God just sent an angel. An angel just showed up. And I'm telling you, I left Central Bank and I ran in town. I'm running because those days, the bank here in Westlands, Barclays, would close at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It is around 1:30. I ran from Central Bank to Kencom House, jumped into a bus. It dropped me here in Westlands. And I'm telling you, it is now around 1:55. I ran from that bus stop with everything that I had. And when I was arriving at the Barclays Bank, I'm telling you, it was just before 2 and the gates were just about to close and I entered. The God of abundance came through. He provided a man when things were thick. He provided a bus. He made sure that the clock stopped until I walked into the bank. I got my traveler's check next week. I was on that plane to the U.S. God knows the challenges that will come your way, but He will provide for you. He will make a way where there seems to be no way. I was in the U.S. 3 years, about 3-4 years, and everything was supplied. Was there, had no stresses, and came back to Kenya so that I could continue the ministry here. But that day, I knew that no matter what you face, the God of abundance, if you have that mindset, let me tell you this, you will not start whining. You will not start singing that song that says, why me, why me, why me? Hey, why me, why me? God does not answer those prayers. God answers prayers that say, God, you're still my God, and my God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. May God provide for you. May God provide for you. I'm telling you, God is still working miracles today. But I want to finish by talking about the mind of possibilities. Tell your neighbor, the mind of possibilities. Tell the other neighbor, the mind of possibilities. The Bible says, all things are possible to those who do what? Who believe. Do you know around 150 years ago, the things that were impossible? The light bulb was an impossibility until somebody called Thomas Edison put it together. The automobile, this car that you drive every day, 150 years ago, there were horses, and nobody ever thought that one day, if you told them that time, that people would be driving cars and vehicles, it was an impossibility. Until another guy called Carl Benz, where we get this Mercedes Benz. He was a man, that was a man's name. Tell your neighbor, amen. Amen. Carl Benz was able to put together a three-wheeled vehicle, and things began to happen. 1882, sometime back, Henry Ford picked it up, and he was able to bring the vehicles into mass production. Things that were impossible became possible. Air travel. Nobody had ever thought people would be flying in the sky. No one. Until the Wright brothers came up with something. By the way, Pastor Simon, the Wright brothers were children of a pastor. And when they told their father, we are going to fly, their father was about to chuck them out of his house. And he says, you don't dream things like that. Things that go up always come down. And he was very upset. But let tell your neighbor, keep dreaming. There are possibilities to be received in Jesus' name. Now people fly, you know, without a problem, and they carry so much load, but they still fly. Television was a challenge. Nobody ever thought of television. Then a 21-year-old guy came up with a television. And one of the guys was an inventor of the radio. Looked at him and he said, this cannot be done. But this young man was able to put the radio things and the visual things and connected them together, and television started happening. But listen to what this guy who had radio said. Listen to what he said. We are talking about empowered thought. He said, and he was speaking in very expertise language. He said, while theoretically and technically television may be feasible, commercially and financially, I consider it an impossibility, a development of which we need waste no time dreaming about. But experts can be wrong, because that young man put a television together. And we're watching it every day and wondering, how did this thing come up? A 21-year-old guy believed that impossibilities can become possible. Personal computers were an impossibility. In 1949, this guy came up and said, things about computers, no further development will happen. 1949. Today, people are having personal computers, but not only personal computers, they are now on your phone. Amazing things. There's an American coach who was called Vince Lombardi. This is what he said. We would accomplish many more things if we did not think of them as impossible. Hallelujah. If we did not think of them as what? As impossible. God wants you to have a possibility mindset. Bwana asifiwe. Last week I told you about this guy, how basketball was invented. You remember that? Then I saw this other story about long jump. Tell your neighbor long jump. I'd ask your neighbor, have you ever done long jump? Apart from jumping when it has rained and you have to jump over pools of water. Listen to this, Pastor Simon. I thought this story was amazing. Sports history was made on September 6, 1991. Mike Powell broke the world long jump record held by Bob Beamon since 1968. A record that stood for 23 years. A record that had belonged to only four men over the last 56 years. It was a feat that earned him a picture on the front of the front page of the New York Times and on the cover of Sports Illustrated. It was one of those rare times when man, for but a brief moment, defies natural law and performs a seemingly superhuman feat. Then it says, but that's not the real story. The real story isn't that Powell jumped 29 feet, 4.5 inches. That's long jump, 29 feet, 4.5 inches. Or that he set a world record that belonged to Bob Beamon for over 23 years. The real story is that Mike Powell programmed his mind just as we can program a computer. He goes on to say Powell had started signing autographs for fans with a number in addition to his name. So when he signed his name, he put a number next to that name. This is what he put, 8.95. So every time he autographed something for his fans, he always finished by saying, Mike Powell, 8.95. And he did that for 5 years. Pastor Simon, 8.59 means 8.95 meters. For those of us who don't think in metric terms, hallelujah, that translates into 29 feet, 4.5 inches. Each time he signed an autograph, he was programming his computer. Like all champions, Mike Powell visualized his record-breaking jump immediately prior to his takeoff. In his mind's eye, he saw himself go through each precisely calculated move. The real jump was an instant replay of that imagined experience. His jump was exactly 29 feet, 4.5 inches, programmed to a fraction of an inch. Afterward, while signing an autograph, this time with the number 29, feet, 4.5 inches, he remarked that it wasn't even real on paper, yet then added, even though my mind told my body it could do it for 5 years, his body simply followed the instructions that had been programmed into his mind. Did you know that from 1991 to this day, no one has broken that record? Some people have come close. No one has broken that record. Because that record was not broken by physical strength. It was broken by a mindset. Your mind will do things your body cannot do. Your mind will take your body where it needs to go. For some of you, let me tell you this, your mind has paralyzed you. And you're stuck where you are because the thoughts you program in your mind are thoughts that paralyze you. They stop progress. And that's why I said in this month of empowered thought, think empowered thoughts. Think good thoughts. If you plan to be healed, believe it. You'll be healed in Jesus' name. If you think success, you'll be successful. Hallelujah. If you think that your marriage can work, it will work. Because let me tell you this, marriage works. It is difficult, but it works. It meanders, but it works. Hallelujah. People who used to love each other during their dating time. Hi, honey. Hi, potato. They are married 2 years or even 6 months. There is no potato and there is no honey on that potato. But 29 years later, they are still marching on because they believe in each other. Bwana asifiwe. Believe in God. You will break the records. Your business will rise. Begin to believe it. Write it down. You need an increment? Don't just put it in your head. Put it on paper. Write yourself a check. Thank you, Jesus. And for your new salary, just write yourself a check. Bwana asifiwe. But don't be so ridiculous that from 30,000 to a million. I mean, there's a process. Tell your neighbor, amen. But believe the God who created you has possibilities ahead of you. And so as I conclude, what I'm trying to say is this. Have a miracle mindset. What miracle mindset are we talking about? The miracle mindset I'm talking about is this. Have the mind of dominion. It's called the I am mind. Have the mind of abundance. It is the I have mindset. Have the mind of possibilities. It is what we call I can. I can. And if you start saying I can, very soon I will. Amen? I can. I will. Bwana asifiwe. Jacob had his breakthrough. Jacob activated his mind, the mind of miracles, the mind of dominion, the mind of abundance, and the mind of possibilities. Jesus one day met a man who was sick for 38 years, and he told, "Do you want to get well?" And the man says, "I don't have anybody to put me into the waters." People can have excuses, but let me tell you this, today, don't excuse yourself. Jesus looked at that man and said, "Stand up. Pick up your bed and walk." And instantly that man was cured and he walked because he believed he could do it. Believe that you can do it. Believe that you are. Believe that you have. Believe that you can. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, "Don't just look at me like that. I can do it." Tell your neighbor, "I have what it takes." And tell your neighbor, "I am whom God says I am."
I am whom God
says I am. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now stand on your feet and let's bless the Lord today in Jesus' name. Have you learned something?
Yes.
God is good.
All
and all the time. There are successes you have not don't know will come to you this month.
Amen.
Let me say that again. There are successes that are coming to you this month. There are miracles that are coming to you this month.
Amen.
We thank God. Thank you for being patient in the service. When we were just about to start the service, we had power challenges, and so the service started a bit late. But we are glad God could give you the strength to be in the service until now. Bwana asifiwe. Empowered thought, activated ideas. I am, I have, I can, and I will. Bwana asifiwe. Let's say that together. I am, I have, I can, and I will. One more time. I am, I have, I can, and I will. Bwana asifiwe. Your mind is very key. Come on, let's give God a big hand. Your mind is very key for God to do miracles. The Bible says that Jesus went to Nazareth and he could not do a miracle there because of their unbelief. They knew he's a person of, we have seen him grow up. And maybe people sometimes put you down and they say, you're not going anywhere. We know you. We know you in class. You used to be number last in class. You cannot go far. Some people call you a dunderhead. Let me tell you this. You have a wisdom greater than your parents. You are not a dunderhead. Bwana asifiwe. You are bright. So tell your neighbor, "I'm bright." Tell them one more time, "I'm bright." Then tell them, "Wear shades." Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And the glory revive us.
Let's pray. Dear Father, it amazes me when I read your word that you really created us for great exploits. The Bible says the people who know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. Lord, there are many times we don't believe in ourselves, and yet you believe in us. You created us for miracles. You created us to be creative. You created us a little lower than the angels, but Lord, with dominion, with honor, and with favor. This afternoon, as your people are released today, they are going to march into their miracles. They are going to walk into their open doors. And though sometimes it may be looking challenging, they are not alone. They go with a God who said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And so, God, I pray that this God of Jacob, and we have called on the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that this God is still the same yesterday and today and forever. And as I pray for your people, Jehovah God, as I pray for me, may I know that I have dominion. I have that mindset of Christ, that it doesn't matter what I face, I have dominion. I am who you say I am. The Lord, I have abundance because I'm connected to the source. The Bible says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Lord, I can. The possibilities are there. Lord, like we were saying, something that seemed to be very impossible a few years ago are so possible today, and we don't even look at them as miracles. They are so kawa, and yet when they were starting, it was impossible. Lord, may the things we see impossible today, may we see them possible tomorrow. May we see possibilities in our tomorrow. Some of us may be in debt. Some of us may be in a health situation that seems totally impossible. But God, you can heal in 5 minutes. You can heal in 1 second. You can restore in ways we cannot imagine. But Lord, you want us to believe it. You want us to have the possibility mindset. Eternal God, as your beloved people go today, may they go energized. May they go strengthened. May they go encouraged, knowing that he who began a good work in them will bring it to completion. So, Father, thank you again for every need that is presented in our midst today. Lord, as we walk out, may we begin to see the possibilities that those needs have already been met according to your power, your ability, and your resources. So all glory goes back to you. And thank you again for giving us this time to share your word, to sing together, to pray together, to give to your work, and to hear your voice saying, this is the way, walk in it. So we receive it and we thank you. And God's people said, God's people said, now let's give God a big hand. I appreciate him. Amen. One more time, let's say the I am. Here we go. I am, I have, I can, I will, in Jesus' name. One more time. I am, I have, I can, I will, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, somebody. Our visitors, thanks for coming. Bishop, thank you for being in our midst. The Lord enrich you and bless you big time. We celebrate Ghana. Even during this celebration, 66 years, we give God the glory. Amen. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, I also thank God that you came. So tell them, thank me because I came. Amen. Please remember this book. Remember the prayer packs. If you haven't gotten a copy, get them. Lift up your hands as we command the blessing for us today. Father, today as I release the blessing, I want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And now I declare to you today, in the name that is above every name, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. And may the Lord give you peace. I declare that your Monday is blessed. Your Tuesday is blessed. Your Wednesday is blessed. Your Thursday is blessed. Your Friday is blessed. Your Saturday is blessed. Sunday, you're coming back with a testimony. In the name of Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. You're blessed when you come in. You're blessed when you go out. You're blessed when you sit down. You're blessed when you rise up. In the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. And God's people say,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I am marching into my miracles this March.
I am marching into my miracles this March.
Amen.
Amen.
Now look at your neighbor, tell your neighbor,
surely goodness
and mercy
shall follow you
all the days of your life.
And you shall dwell
in the house of the Lord
forever
and ever.
And
there's nothing the devil can do about it.
You're blessed
to be a blessing.
You're favored
to be favorable.
You're lifted
to lift others.
In Jesus'
name.
Amen.
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 And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Shalom.